our 10-minute speaker is Chris Kay from San Diego.
Hey, you guys. My name's Chris. I'm an alcoholic. Just start off with the basics. My sobriety date is January 13th, 2013. I have a sponsor. I have a home group. And I'm doing this business. It's been exciting thus far, and definitely excited for the years to come, if I do make it, which I hope I do. So, start with the basics on just a little bit about my story and what I've gone through and what I've experienced is I'm born and raised here in San Diego. I come from a big Irish family. Alcoholism is very apparent in my family. My dad, he is a recovering alcoholic. He has 28 years, so they used to run 12-step meetings out of my house 2 days a week. So AA is nothing, was nothing out of the ordinary for me because I saw the wreckage of families. I saw it in my house. Me and my friends, we used to huddle behind the pony wall in the hallway and listen to it and be like, oh, my gosh, this is so crazy. And little did I know, my parents told me about 10 years old that you're going to be an alcoholic if you do ever pick up. I'm like, how can you say that? Like you can't just like give me a destiny that I don't understand, that I haven't chosen. I haven't even made that step yet, and you're already like saying it is. The first time they went out of town, I drank a bottle of wine, and then I think about like 4 or 5 beers, and I was probably about 75 pounds at that time and threw up all over the place. And my parents had a house sitter there. He called my parents. They told him, he's like, your son's trying to fight me, and it's I'm pretty sure he's drunk. And they're like, oh, gosh. So that was the beginning of it all. I think that was 11 or 12 years old, and so I was off to the races. You know, I started picking up extracurricular activities, I'll call them, and drinking just sort of spiraled out of control. When I got to 19, I hit a roadblock in my use, in my drinking, that it wasn't fun anymore. I got hit by a car. Actually, my friend hit me with a car because I was trying to fight him. He hit me with a truck, and I went flying like 20 feet. And I just remember waking up in the back of this van. They're like, we're taking you to the hospital. I'm like, you can't take me to the hospital. I don't need to go to the hospital. You're like, you just got hit by a truck. Like, you need to go to the hospital. And I was like, no, take me home. So these people, like, random people drove me home. And my parents, like, my mom's like, you're an idiot. We got to talk in the morning. So we talked in the morning. My mom's like, either you get out or you go to rehab. So I went to rehab. You know, I wanted nothing to do with that, so or getting kicked out and being homeless at 19. So I went to rehab, and you know, for the first couple days, I was fighting it, and I didn't want to be there. I was like, "You guys are nuts! You guys make me get up." This was out in Lakeside at Calvary Ranch. It's a farm. Like, they make you work with pigs, cows, bulls, all that stuff. You sun up, sun down, you're working. And you're grinding, and I didn't want anything to do with it. And so I was praying one day, and something in my head was just like, hey, you know, you're here for a reason. Like, take that, learn about it. So they did have meetings. They had 2 AA meetings a week, and I didn't want anything to do with AA. I thought these old biker gang dudes were just, like, crazy and kooky, and, like, my so-called sponsor was like an ex-Hells Angel, and I was like, this guy's nuts, like, he's crazy, scaring the shit out of me, like, I don't know. And then I never went to AA. I never called him, never did anything, and all it took was 9 months. 9 months before I had a bad day, and I thought I could smoke weed, like, I'll stick to weed. If I do weed, I'm fine, okay? Like, we're good. Yeah, right. An hour later, I was wasted, and then became this thing of me trying to control my drinking for the next 6 years. I wanted to say, my whole thing was, if I'm going to be an alcoholic, at least I'm going to control this stuff. Because I knew the term of a functioning alcoholic, and that's what I strive to be. And I became pretty good at it. But there was those times where I got the DUIs, and I stopped drinking for an hour or two, and I started having seizures, and, I just, all this stuff happened, and it took about a month before I got sober. I had quit my job because I was so frustrated with my boss. I was up in a job site. I was doing construction up in San Francisco, and I was just unhappy. I told him, I was like, see you later. He's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm going to Vegas. And so I left the job site with my trainees, and I quit my job that I had been with for 3 years, and I went to Vegas, and it was the most miserable trip to Vegas I've ever been. And then I went on this one-month bender of drinking and just doing nonsense. And it took about, I got home one day because I was just going to go get a change of clothes, and I sat down on the couch to watch some hockey with my dad. And I hadn't been drinking for about an hour or so, and that's all it took. Started having a seizure right there on the couch. First one I had in front of my parents. And I had a seizure I was in it for about 2 minutes. And all I saw was darkness. You know, most of my seizures I had were like these very lucid dreams where I was very interactive in it, and I felt like I was walking around, and I was like, but this one was just complete darkness. And I felt like that was a reflection of where I was at and who I was in my life. It's giving me chills down my spine just thinking about it. I came out of it. I went outside. I was smoking a cigarette, and I fell to my knees, and first time I talked to God in a while, I was like, God, what do you want from me? And this voice came to me and was just like, I want you to admit you're afraid. And my first initial reaction, because that mask hadn't been pulled off yet, was like, I'm not afraid. You're afraid. Like, you're crazy. And, and the simplest thing was that it just came down to that I was afraid. I was scared. I was scared of myself. I was scared of what you thought of me, what I was going to become, and all this stuff. And in the meantime of, from the first time I got sober to that time, I had 2 DUIs, so I had to go to a lot of AA meetings, to finish my court programs. And so it was just one of those things that my mom looked at me and was like, you know what to do. And so I hopped on 3 buses from Poway and got my ass down to PB because that was the only meetings I knew of, because I knew if I went to those meetings, I can go drink at the bars afterwards. And that's what I did. I couch surfed. I went to a couple hundred meetings in my first 90 days because I didn't know what else to do. And I got a sponsor, I went through the steps, and it changed my perspective. It changed everything. Fear is something, nowadays, even this week, it's I'm so fearful of my own expectations of myself. Because I feel like, hey, I'm sober now, I'm accomplishing things constantly, I want growth every year, and I want to see that growth, and manifest in some physical or spiritual attributions, all this crazy stuff, and I work, and I burn myself out at both ends, and then I realize I'm not taking that time to step back and realize I'm not being grateful for what I've accomplished and where I'm at, and I'm not being present. And I think that's what mostly the biggest thing I've learned with going through the 12 steps and the 12 traditions is just being present, not with just your fellows and your family and God, but with yourself, and understanding, this is where I'm at and this is where I'm supposed to be. Now, the greatest accomplishment I've been able to acquire within taking the steps was just not just serenity, but having the ability to reach out to people, to know I have people I can trust. It's funny, I got one of my best childhood friends today. I bought my mother, he finally gave me my mother, he's a photographer, and he gave me my Mother's Day present for my mom today. It was a photo of me that she really wanted printed, so he ended up ripping me off on it. And I was like, that was my best drinking buddy, and I was like, you know what, I guess this was the last straw. And I don't have friends like that in the rooms. I don't have people that do that to me. If they want me around, they want me around for me, as crazy as I am. And if you get to know me, I'm a little firecracker in regards to just bouncing off the wall. I'm still childlike energy, but it's a lot of that's calmed down because I've found a peace that I can't describe. It's just something that you go through the steps and it's just something clicks, and then you look at something like lying on the ground and seeing a dandelion fall apart will make you cry, and you're like, holy shit, I'm grounded finally. And that's crazy because that happened to me. But thank you. Thank you for having me here. Thank you for sharing my sobriety and my experience. And definitely, I don't really know many of you, so I'd like to have a conversation with at least a couple of you before I go. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.